obligation to speak out. A law school graduation, Pentecost, and even a visitor from up north who comes down and gives us some treasures that we might have lost. All this on today's episode, number 415. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'll connect those dots if you'll walk with me and take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armedoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I always believed that when you have a voice, you have an obligation to use that voice to empower others. Well, how you do? Welcome. I wish I could take credit for that, but actually, that belongs to Diane von Furstenberg. And although I don't take credit for it, I certainly believe it. And probably even more today, because I started off my day in a very unusual funk. Unusual in the sense that I was ready to let today pass without a podcast. And that would be like a first, right? In almost 9 years of podcasting, a first that we let a week go by. But I read this. It was, I know there's people that come up to me and they tell me, you know, I always read what the Bible says. I'll open a passage and it speaks to me. Well, I had one of those moments with this one today, because as I was preparing for the podcast today, I opened up my web browser to check out what's going on in the world, and suddenly an ad for Forbes magazine comes up. Yeah, I guess they've targeted me, right? And it's just a blank page with a thought bubble on it. And it says, I always believed that when you have a voice, you have an obligation to use that voice to empower others. And things changed. I said, yeah, God has given us this gift, has given us this beautiful voice of epostle.net to broadcast, to do this ministry, to get this message out. So we have an obligation. And so thank you to Forbes. Thank you to Diane von Furstenberg. Thank you to the stars, to luck, to fate, whatever it is. But this really hit me today. And we have a lot to talk about today. As the day unfolded, many, many things happened, including a visit that I wasn't expecting. And I'm going to share that with you during this first portion of the podcast. Also, my second son, Sevan, he graduated law school this Sunday. Have some thoughts about, not only as a parent, but some of the thoughts that go on at a graduation from law school. Especially when you have the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court Justice Chin there, who talks about immigrants and coming and starting out. So got some thoughts about that coming up in a little bit. Also wanted to recognize that we do have Pentecost. We just celebrated Pentecost in the Christian Church. 50 days after Easter, it's a time when we recognize that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be the voice of the church. Yeah, you got it, right? I always believe that when you have a voice, you have an obligation to use that voice to empower others. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, coming and empowering this group of otherwise unassembled, disorganized, chaotic even, following the resurrection of Christ. Chaotic collection of people into a harmonious concert of good news, of proclaiming that good news. empowering others to give that voice. Pentecost. Wow. Now you tell me, how does all that work? How does that all come together? Just from a simple opening up of your computer, and you see, you open up your web browser to get news, and Forbes magazine targets you, and there it is. The empowerment speech, right? Well, at the very least, you know that something happened, right? Whether it was 2,000 years ago at Pentecost or whether it was this morning. Anyway, we'll get back to this, all right? For right now, I want to share with you a story, something that happened today. Several months ago, a young lady contacted me via email. She reminded me that 20 years ago, I had baptized her at the age of 19. Now, this lady was from Baku. And an interesting story, because when her family came, she had come with her father and mother, grandparents, grandfather and grandmother. And the grandfather was a colonel in the Soviet Army. And they had settled themselves in San Jose in a refugee program because, well, if you know where Baku is, Azerbaijan, they had left Azerbaijan following the pogroms that had taken place in the late 80s, early 90s. So 1991, they had relocated in San Jose. And this gentleman, her grandfather, calls me up and says, actually calls up the church secretary and said, we have arrived here as refugees. We have come through. And the secretary told him that, you know, Father Voskin will be coming. Now, this kind, gentle man, up in years, perhaps a little bit confused too after all that's happened, expected to see, yes, a Father Voskin, but not me. At the time, the Catholicos was Voskin. And so when I went to their house, I'll never forget this. He kind of like looked outside the door like, is it just you? He was expecting, and we had a good laugh about it afterwards too. He told me that he was expecting Voskin from Yerevan, the Catholicos. He was going to come. Anyway, long story short, just a wonderful family. They had escaped the difficulties, the pogroms, the slaughter, the intolerance towards the Armenian community in Baku. And if you know about Baku, most of them are Russian-speaking. They came and they settled in San Jose. And the father, his name was Rafi. The gentleman I spoke about was the grandfather, but this girl's father, his name Rafi, came in a very devout man who wanted to learn about the Armenian church. And he came into my church and started reading. He didn't read Armenian, could barely speak a little bit of Armenian, but he taught himself the Armenian language. And I'll never forget, he would come to the church and sit in behind the altar holding a Bible and reading, teaching himself Armenian, until one day during the service, he had asked if he could participate in the service, and he was ordained an acolyte holding candles, and one day he came and said, I would like to do the reading, the gospel reading. And I said, well, you know, you got to do it in Armenian, that's one of the requisites here, you know. He says, I'll do it, and he did. And after that, we had him, as a couple of years later, he was ordained a deacon of the church, and he served with a lot of dedication and a lot of humility. Well, I left that town about almost 20 years ago, and we connected a couple times throughout the years, throughout the last 20 years. At once about 10 years ago when I was giving a speech up in Seattle about at the time, the newly started In His Shoes movement. And there was Rafi and his daughter. And that was about the last time that I saw them. And anyway, she came today. She traveled from Washington State to Burbank for all of a two-hour meeting. The reason was to tell me, first of all, that my deacon, Rafi, had passed away a couple years ago. And the devoted man that he was, he had several religious books that she would like me to have. for me to use as I wish. And so we met today, and she brought this little handbag filled with books, treasures if you want to call them. And among the treasures included in there was also his stole, the Urar. I gotta tell you, there are times where you really, you know, you get the little hairs on your arm to stick up, you know, you get goosebumps. This was one of those times. She gave me his Urar, his stole, the one that he so humbly wore throughout the years. Anyway, we went through the books, and we had a very, very nice visit. She had to get back to Washington, and she headed back. In our visit, we had a chance to talk about many, many different things, including some ideas about, well, how do you settle after seeing all those pogroms, after going through the collapse of the Soviet Union, and now here we are 25 years later, meeting a place called Burbank, had a chance to go to the Diocesan headquarters, St. Leon Cathedral, show her a little bit around the church. But how do you put all of this together? How do you make it all meld together? And we had a chance to talk about many things, including her coming down. Just the idea that you would take 2 hours of your life to fly down, 2 hours to meet, and then 2 hours to fly back to your home, just for the satisfaction of delivering these books, these treasures. And there's something to be said about that human touch and in this respect, because we talked about it. It would have been so much easier if she just bundled these books and put a stamp on it. Definitely it would have been more cost effective, but she took the time to bring it down. And this in Armenian, there's a beautiful word in Armodoxy we use as ucht. It's the same word that we use for pilgrimage. It's fulfilling the desires of your heart to do what you have promised to do. It's the fulfillment of that promise to yourself and to God. And so in a sense, this was an ucht that she had to come and deliver these books, her father's treasures, the things that gave him that spiritual comfort, satisfaction, the hope in tomorrow, and the love in his heart. And sometimes that could be best described only through a face-to-face meeting. Only when it brings a little discomfort to you to go out of your way, to go out of your schedule, to make that contact, that human contact. And yes, there's something to be said about this. There's something to be said about, especially with what we do. I mean, so many of you, we contact one another via email, via Skype. We could FaceTime one another. But there's something to be said about looking at each other one-on-one in the physical presence. Because when we do it on Skype, when we do FaceTiming, there's one thing that's off, right? Aside from everything beautiful, you could have the best reception, you could be on broadband, everything going well, but what's the one problem? Well, the person across from you is two-dimensional, right? They're on a flat screen. That's it. You need that third dimension, and here's what I'm challenging you with. That third dimension is not depth. That third dimension is the spirit, which gives it depth. Now, are you putting dots together? Pentecost, a group of men chaotically organized after the resurrection. Chaos in the sense that their Lord was crucified. There's sightings of him resurrected. They've seen him for the last 40 days. And now there is a promise that was given to them that the comfort of the Holy Spirit would come and would guide the church. What does that Holy Spirit do? It comes and it gives depth to the community. That's the Spirit. And it's the same thing when you're talking to somebody via the computer or via the phone. You're on the phone, you're at one dimension, right? One-dimensional communication is basically sound going back and forth. With Skype, you've got sound and sight, but you're missing the depth, that human feeling, that human touch. And I don't know if a hologram is ever going to be able to accomplish this, but definitely a one-on-one, when you're facing somebody, And looking at somebody in the eyes, you peer into the soul. And it's that conversation of the soul that is so essential. Because this young lady also told me one other thing that was very, very enlightening to me. We were talking about this and she said that this is one of the things that is good and bad about technology today. Yes, we are able to expand ourselves because we talked about the entire idea about communities leaving. For instance, leaving Baku after the pogroms, after the massacres, leaving your home, leaving everything that you had. And she said in the olden times, you would have communities and you couldn't escape. So when you can't escape, what's your alternative? You have to work to make it work. You have to work towards fixing the problems instead of escaping the problems. An interesting insight. An interesting insight coming from somebody who had to leave for sheer survival following the heinous, the barbaric attacks of the Azeris. And here we are 25 years later, sitting across from one another, exchanging the treasures that were so dear to her father, a father who had looked at his family and decided that they needed to leave because the aggression was so intense that they needed to find a new life. And here they are in a foreign land, 25 years later, exchanging the gifts, exchanging the treasures, but more importantly, exchanging the glance, that human element, exchanging the feeling, the depth. And when we look at Pentecost, there's nothing different. The image of the church needing that depth to be able to do the work of Christ. We'll talk more about this right after the song of the day. We're going to be talking about some other things too as well. But right now, as we go to the song of the day, you know that we have a great concert coming up. I'm going to be talking about it in a few minutes, about the Gor Mkhitaryan concert. But rather than play something of his, I'll play some of his a little bit later. For Song of the Day, I'm going to go to the youth choir because among the books that were given to me today was also this beautiful CD that the father would listen to. And it is called Gloria in Excelsis, Park I Partsuns. It is Armenian spiritual music by the junior choir of St. Sahag and Mesrop Armenian Church in Providence, Rhode Island. It is the Nareg Bell Choir of the St. Mary Armenian Church in Washington, D.C. Together they produced this beautiful album. Let's listen to a couple cuts. Thank you. couple selections from Gloria in Excelsis, Parki Partsunts in Armenian. That is the junior choir of the St. Sahag and Mesrop Armenian Church in Providence, Rhode Island, and the Nodig Bell Choir of St. Mary Armenian Church in Washington, D.C., and presented here for your enjoyment in memory of a very dear man, Deacon Raphael Gasparian, who passed away a couple years ago, and leaving us some treasures, the same treasures which he found and enjoyed in his life. The treasures, well, you know, the real ones, you know, that moths cannot eat, that rust cannot destroy. Yeah, the ones Jesus prescribes. Can only wish it upon everyone. I'll have a link on today's show notes so you can check out this beautiful music as well. This week I had a chance to play Proud Daddy again, as the second of our children, the second son, received his Juris Doctorate degree. He has graduated law school. Proud moment, very, very special moment. And we've watched a lot of these ceremonies. We've gone through high school and college graduations, but this one kind of hit me in a different way. And you know me, I'm a sucker for ceremonies. I love ceremonies that have meaning, and this one definitely had meaning. But I was very moved, especially we had a chance to hear the comments of one of the justices of the California Supreme Court, named Justice Ming Chin, who happened to be American-born. He was from America, and he actually made a light of it. I believe he said he had nine children in his family. And he listed off the name of the nine children, including Mary and Johnny and Charlie and Jack and Donna and Jane. And he was the youngest of them. He got the name Ming. Maybe the connection with the old world. But he certainly talked about the old world, talked about the opportunities here in America. And he also reflected about the changes. And one of the things that really hit me was when he talked about his father coming to this country and wanting better for his child. And isn't that the truth with all parents, right? I think they always strive for, and at the very least, they want something better than their condition for their children. And he recalled how his father had offered an old Chinese saying, said that if you want to prepare for 1 year, plant rice. If you want to prepare for 10 years, plant a tree. And if you'd like to prepare for 100 years, plant education or get an education. Beautiful words. And I was thinking about that. I was contemplating about that, definitely. As we are educated, we also feel empowerment. But there is a trend going on now that I think we've lost the idea of how important that education is, because it's seen as an end to itself rather as a means to the end. Right now, there are many, and I'm not saying everybody, but there are many who will see education as a means of getting a successful career, a successful job. Perhaps more so in the past than in recent years. In recent years, there's even question about that. And your ears perk up when you hear about people who, without education or have dropped out of school, have had these successful careers, success in the sense of money, monetary gains. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, because I think that that idea of success is something that is, we're just missing the mark on. We have given away the entire show to the idea that success is measured by dollar signs. And perhaps to some, but it is not a way of life. I told you a story about a man who, believing so many difficulties, comes here and ends up with the treasures that are so important. And once again, I bring this up today because we are living in a time right now that we've forgotten about the true treasures of life. Have you taken a stroll through a park recently? Have you gone down to the beach and just looked at the waves and looked at the grandeur of the oceans? Have you looked up at the mountains? Have you taken a walk through the mountains? Have you gone beyond that glance? Have you made it third dimensional? Have you incorporated the spirit in there? If you have, you can vouch for this, right? That is something that you cannot buy. There's no price tag on it. And unfortunately, we are living under the illusion that everything has a price on it.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more.
Yeah, you remember that song? Money. The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. Why? Because that money does things. Well, look at the climate in this world. Look at what's going on in this world. Everything is measured by money. In fact, here in the United States, this is a very sad reality. And I'm not. It's not just about politics that I'm going to be speaking about. It's more than politics, but the entire Trump phenomena. It is a phenomena, because when this guy started running for office, no one believed that he would last more than a few weeks. When he got his first votes, everyone thought that there was something screwy about the people that elected him. But now you've got these large number of people following him. And some of it, and this is the only politics I'll talk right now, okay? Some of it is because, well, there really isn't another alternative. People are just up against the wall and they're saying, okay, show us an alternative. And they're all goofballs. They're all just out there. You know, like, who's talking any sense? It's a scary, scary proposition when you think that this large country, the United States, is in the hands of these people. And there's a good chance that now Trump being the presumptive nominee, that's what they're calling him, of the Republican Party, he's getting momentum even more than before. And here's what's scary about it. The rhetoric that's coming out is appealing to people. And that's why I'm saying it's not about politics that I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the general atmosphere within the world right now. Might is right. I'm telling you, if the more money you have, the better you are. The more power you have. That the way you negotiate difficulties, the way you strive for peace is by becoming stronger, by killing people, by having wars, by eradicating people. And we see what happens is that history gets written. History gets written by the winners, right? Well, guess what? The winners have all won wars. So what do you think the history is going to tell you? Yeah, that wars work. And they don't. They don't. Wars don't work. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. We were discussing that whole idea about no borders. And the whole Leninian, John Lennon's idea of imagine there's no borders. Imagine there's no religion. Imagine if there's no differences. There's no country. Nothing to live and die for. What would we have? Peace? Well, imagine this. You say, well, obviously we have pride. Yes, we have pride and everything. But let's take it from a purely Christian standpoint. Jesus Christ. If you believe he is the Son of God, if you believe that he is God incarnate coming here, talking to us, what was his message? His message was of love. So when you're standing there with a rifle in your hand, with a bomb, with your finger on the button of a bomb, now you tell me, which person would Jesus okay to say it's okay to kill? Which person? Who would he say, hey, it's okay, go ahead, kill that person? I mean, this is the understanding that we have when St. Paul says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither female nor male, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all his children. That's a very difficult proposition to undertake, to understand, and to accept. But here lies the challenge, and so because it's difficult, do we just completely reject it? I mean, the rhetoric right now in town is politics solves everything. No, it doesn't. Politicians have one purpose. I've repeated this, and I'll go on record. I'll tell you, I said it to their faces. They have one purpose. It's not to get you into a better place. We talked about who wants to get you in a better place, right? What did we say? Parents, right? They hope for their children a better life than what they have. That's sincere, right? Well, of course it is. Parents have given life to you. What an obligation does the politician have to you? And that's why the politician has one united priority, and that's to get elected and reelected. And so they say what will please the audience, what will get the voter to vote and elect them and reelect them and reelect them. Now, once you understand this, you can put this out on the field towards all portions of life, even within your businesses, right? You know that there are certain management people who play politics. Why do you play politics? To secure your job. Well, it's no different in government politics. And you get out there to secure your job. So what suffers is the spiritual aspect of life. And we start believing this stuff that might is right. The more powerful you are, you're going to be more right. Well, in a sense, you are, because you get to write history. So yes, you will be correct because the history will reflect that correctedness. Right? Think about it for a moment. People who win are the ones who write the history. So what are they going to write? That we came in here and we forced ourselves on other people? Or are they going to write that there was a war and we won? And so history will always go on the side of these winners. And meanwhile, this rhetoric that's being thrown out there, every possible conflict that's out there can be resolved by strength, by might. What happened to negotiations? What happened to sit down and let's talk? What happened to get the spirit involved and change it from a two-dimensional to a three-dimensional object? What happened to all of that? Where is it? Did we lose it? In a very real sense, we have lost it, right? You know, one of the big things, I don't know how much of American politics gets out to the rest of the world, but I know our listeners from different places hear bits and pieces. But one of the big, big platforms that Donald Trump had was building a wall. It was one of the first things that he said, I want to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. And Pope Francis, I believe it was him, who said that this isn't a very Christian attitude. Then you had Trump guy like ragging on the Pope, like, who are you to tell me if I'm a Christian? Well, he just happens to represent the head of the Roman Catholic Church. So that's the answer. But instead, they got into this big debate about nothing. The truth is that you don't build walls. You tear them down. Because we have to get into a world where we understand one another. Where we have to live with one another. We're not in the old villages. I mean, a lot of the things that Trump says, this is what's worrying me, that people are just blindly and instinctively saying yes to. Rounding up immigrants. 11 million people. How? How do you get rid of 11 million people? I know the Turks tried to get rid of a few million, but we're not talking about that measure, are we? Of course not. But we're talking about things that will not work in reality, but they will give votes to people. And this is the fear that I have, that we have done away with reality and gone with the way of these fantasies. Why? Because we have bought into a plan. And this is true in every country. This is true in every system. That you bought into something that is not real. Jesus Christ says, Make for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moths cannot eat them, cannot destroy them, where rust cannot get to them. Think about it for a moment. Real treasures. Taking a walk in the park. Looking out to the horizon. Hey, guess what? This Sunday, the planet Mars is going to be in opposition. You know what that means? It means when it rises, the sun will be setting. When the sun rises, Mars will be setting. How many of you can look out at the horizon and just stand in awe at the wonders and the timings of the universe? And that awe is something that is a true treasure. Yet, we give all this up for treasures that they tell us are important, and they're not. Going through this law school ceremony really gave me a chance to really think about what we train ourselves for. Obviously, there's certain people that will be in the profession and will be going to school for those treasures that unfortunately they're going to find out all too quickly aren't the important ones. Other people will use their education to plan for the next 100 years, as the Chinese prophet told us. But in a very real sense, more than planning for the 100 years, it's how you live right now. Because it's really a question of understanding what's important in your life. And when the Chinese prophet talks about that plan for 100 years via education, you understand that that education is not within the confines of a school, a university, a charter, but it's in an education which we call life. And inside that life, yes, there are schools. There are different schools. There are the ones that are traditional. There's the classroom schools. There's the trade schools. There's the apprentice schools. And there's also the school of law, hard knocks of life. What we learn day in and day out. And each of them points us in a direction that gets us to this three-dimensional model that we are talking about throughout today's podcast. To go beyond that two-dimensional screen and understand that there has to be spirit in life. And that's what the celebration is all about. In a few weeks, actually in about 10 days, we're going to be celebrating a very special event. It marks the release of the new Gor Mkhitaryan album. I'm going to share with you a song by Gor Mkhitaryan right now. It appears on his latest album. I want you to listen to it, enjoy it, and remember that on the 29th of this month, it's yours for the taking. Also on the 29th of this month, we're going to be having a very special outdoor concert. Hey, if you missed Woodstock, you're going to want to be at this one. This is your second chance. And despite whatever change they told you about, it's chance. Here's a song off of the new Gor Mkhitaryan album.
Traduzione, lavei hantesel, unajnit gjon theki, pushimit për orel, sala hapak neri në qejkën e të jev, pajc darën me datel, u datak në stel. Jartan karotit, sartem në mi hivën, Gjerkrit kanë qitë, dacat së khelagar A uzet si jarage, het vera darnar O es posi masine dhe rivu morana 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 Het darnar Ajas kitek, vol haskanam te, inqeri
Mkhitaryan's latest creation, album number 8 in a series of wonderful album, wonderful music throughout his career. We're inviting you to be part of it this historic occasion as he unveils the album at the debut. It is sponsored by In His Shoes. It takes place in Pasadena, California. If you're in the Southern California area, there'll be a link on today's show notes. You can get your tickets. If you're not in the Southern California area, I would suggest come down here. Why not? Come and enjoy an incredible afternoon. It's going to be Memorial Weekend, May 29th on that Sunday. There'll be great barbecue as well. So join us for the unveiling, the debut of the Gor Mkhitaryan new CD, new album called Passport. Here's Susie to tell you other ways that you can get involved with us.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and thank you for being a supporter of this podcast through your prayers, through your donations. It's a way of getting this message out, this message of Armadoxy. I shared with you lecture from last week, Professor Dekmejian. We played the soundtrack. We have the actual footage on our website. There will be a link on today's show notes so you could check. We had requests for people to see the video of it, although it's not very action-oriented, but you requested it, we're providing it. It's there on our website for your personal edification. Well, that about does it for today. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Want to remind you that there are still tickets available, but I would run really quickly. Get on the show notes today and press on the link for Gore's Passport album release. A party, May 29th. You will not want to miss it. It's on today's show notes. That's how easy it is, okay? So just go there, order your tickets, and be there. Hey, you missed Woodstock. You might as well come to this one. And I'll be there, too. Out on the green, and we'll even have some chairs if you don't feel like sitting out on the green. Gore Mkhitaryan, the Passport release concert. Be there. It's the place to be. On behalf of all the wonderful people who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, with a big congratulations to Sevan, this is Father Vasquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.